Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Passage to Empowerment 2.0. Tonight, I think, is going to be a very entertaining evening. Holly and I are very excited about tonight's show. Tonight, we have Wolf Paranormal Investigators on the air with us, going to provide some insight into the job that they do, and maybe a little bit of insight into paranormal. Who knows, right? Hope you've had a good 2 weeks. We enjoyed our first show. It was a lot of fun. And now I'm going to bring on my co-host, Holly. How are you, hon?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm okay.
I'm distracted, to be honest with you.
Who's distracted, you are or me?
Me.
Oh, why are you distracted?
Oh, you don't even want to know. I got three people sitting here, and they're all trying really hard not to laugh out loud. Does that help you?
Yeah, okay, that's enough.
A little bit special, and not in a good way.
Uh-huh.
And Will thinks I'm a bit loopy. Shay thinks I'm a bit loopy, and Chris, well, she's just being diplomatic about the whole thing. Hi, Anna.
All righty. Well, you know what? I guess... We should maybe bring Madison into the play too, right?
Absolutely.
Hi, Madison.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tonight we have Chris, Shay, Noelle, and Madison, part of Wolf Paranormal Investigations. Madison, you're from the BC chapter, is that right?
That's right. We're in the Okanagan interior here in BC.
Oh, wonderful. Lovely part of the country. How many people do you have on your team?
We currently have 4.
Oh, awesome. So Wolf Paranormal is really growing. Way to go, team. Holly, how do you want to proceed from here?
However you want.
Okay, let's just tell jokes.
Guy walks into a bar. Ba-dum-bum. So, anybody have any questions, you can call in. The number is 646-727-2914. Call in. You can talk to any of us. If you have any questions about what we do, things like that, feel free to do that. Post in the chat if you want to. And go!
All right. Well, first off, I would like to know how long Wolf Paranormal has been around.
Since 2008.
Well, that's a fairly good length of time.
Yeah.
And each of your team members, Shay, how long have you been with them?
Seems like forever.
Okay. How long?
It's a good thing this isn't TV because you really missed the expression on his face when he said that. Can you say eye roll?
Bad. bad, buddy. Too bad. Okay, so what's your main job on this team?
Who's? Mine?
Yeah, Shay.
I'm affectionately known as the glue that holds everything together. But
okay.
A cult specialist.
What was that again, Shay?
Pardon me?
Can you repeat that?
I'm the occult specialist.
Okay. And Chris, what about you?
I've been with you guys, just over 2 years, 2.5 years, and I do the camera and investigate. Yeah.
My next question for you, Chris, is have you ever captured anything on camera, as in paranormal?
Ollie and I did, yeah. I think so. I think we've seen a strobe of light. I still think that's what we saw.
Me too.
It wasn't dust. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. And Noelle, what about you?
When did I join? Like March of this year?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so a few months. And I'm kind of just along for the ride. I do PR stuff here and there, but yeah.
And, of course, you have to have a fascination with paranormal.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's why I got involved. It was just I had certain skill sets that I could try and bring to the team, and public relations is kind of that skill set.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. That is, well, Holly knows one day I am going to get in on an investigation with you guys. It would be so interesting for me.
Yes.
Adam, what about you? What do you bring to the team?
Well, like Noelle, I'm actually relatively new to it. Public relations is also my thing. I come from a big background of it. I'm also a very healthy skeptic. So I'm here to hopefully boost Okanagan team a little bit. Relatively new still, not quite as firmly planted and known as the Calgary team is just yet. So we're here kind of to spread the word and get ourselves out there and hopefully help some people figure out what's going on.
Holly, now my question to you, Holly. You are obviously the founder, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. How many investigations do you do generally in a year?
In a year? I think it depends on what's going on in the year. I don't know, what, four, five?
Probably. Yeah.
And I'm anyone can answer this. The length of time that an investigation requires would depend on the activity. Is that right?
Sorry, we were just trying to make sure that we were providing truthful information here. can you repeat the question?
The length of time that is required for any investigation, would that depend on how much activity there was or how many times you had to return or what's the case in this?
Yeah, it depends on whether there's a lot of activity or no activity. Our minimum is between 2 and 4 hours. We have not had an overnight yet because we haven't been in a situation where there's been activity to warrant that kind of a stay. But we're hoping.
Yeah, no kidding.
We're hoping. We're waiting for the Holy Grail.
Yeah, no, yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Exactly.
Buildings.
Yeah, old buildings, abandoned buildings, hospitals, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the old Alberta Hospital up here would probably provide a lot of activity for you guys.
Oh, is it haunted?
It's supposed to be, yeah.
Has it been investigated before?
I don't think it has. I also know that there is 2 schools for sure that are haunted here. I've even felt them, so yeah, I know they are.
Oh, cool. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah, they're. I think they have captured just like a strobe of light or an orb in the one school.
Okay.
There was a faint outline in the other one. So yeah, I think that would be really quite interesting. There's apparently supposed to be several buildings in the Strathcona area of Edmonton, which is White Avenue. They're supposed to have quite a few. They're supposed to be haunted, but you know what? I haven't felt anything there.
Okay. Do you know Do you know of the stories, what the stories are?
Vaguely, back to the origins of Edmonton, where there was, you know, gunfights and that sort of thing. To be honest with you, I felt more of the paranormal activity when I was at Fort Edmonton Park.
Really?
A lot of the old buildings and such are. I felt more there than I have probably anywhere else here.
Hmm. Interesting. We'll have to look into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a caller. Do you want to bring them on now, Holly, or do you want to say something else?
No, go take it.
Hi, good evening. You're on the air with Holly and Nina. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. Hi, Nina. This is Anna. Hi, Holly and team. Thank you for taking
my
call.
Hi, Anna.
Hello.
Oh, you're welcome, Anna.
My question is, well, it's something that my mother, well, she's deceased now, but she has always said that spirits cannot hurt you, but, you know, they can make you hurt yourself if you're in fear. So what do you guys take on that? Have you ever had an encounter where it was actually a poltergeist or anything like that?
We're going to let Shay take that one.
I've experienced a few things like that. To a certain degree, she's right,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
you can't, the spirits cannot hurt you. A lot of people, that's the stress is, you know, they're not used to what's going on and the stuff that's, you know, it takes a vast amount of energy in order to be able to manipulate objects and manifest or be able to touch you. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's one of those things where a lot of times let it be.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll just either peter itself out.
Mm-hmm.
But the phone was beeping. But it's relatively harmless. The thing that I tell people is just enjoy the ride.
Okay.
I mean, if someone.
So the Ebonyville horror movie is just a movie for TV in Hollywood, right?
Pardon me, I couldn't hear you.
The Ebonyville horror movie that Hollywood makes, they're just made for TV in the movies, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they're going to try and make it as exciting as possible.
Right.
And there's been a couple that are a little bit closer to what
mm-hmm.
can happen. But again, it's like they still make it a little bit more, so it's a bit more exciting for everybody.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I was kind of raised to the fact that seeing a spirit was something that was kind of like on the dark side or negative side. But since, you know, you learn better than that, so it's kind of like a blessing to be able to see spirits nowadays, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I find it fascinating. So any kind of a contact with something that's outside of the norm is a lot of fun for me.
Yes, right. Well, thank you all so much for taking my call. I would like to listen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No problem, Anna. Thank you. Shay, it's been, well, I have come across kind of a not-so-nice spirit. And you're right, he didn't do anything to me, but he sure scared the crap out of me the first time.
Okay.
But, you know, once I figured out that, get over your fear and tell him to get lost, he did.
Oh, yeah. They can't really do too much because the amount of energy it requires is crazy amounts. That's why, you know, people would experience a room getting cold,
mm-hmm.
or your batteries in your phone or your flashlight or anything, any kind of
solitary energy, they have to use that in order to be able to manifest.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
It's got a lot to do with how much energy is available to them.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how much energy could be available to them.
Well, and it's got to be free. Well, and it's an interesting. It's got to be free energy. So something like I used to have a lot of problems going on investigations because the battery in my watch would die.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually don't, when I go on an investigation now, I don't wear a battery-operated watch. And, you know, it's that kind of sort of like free energy that
yeah.
that they will try and grab.
Mm. Do you think that sometimes maybe the energy could be limitless?
I think in different spots. I lived in a building that was right across from a power plant or a power generator.
Yeah.
And a lot of things would happen, but again, it's short bursts. So they got to collect the energy, move an object, collect the energy, make a noise,
yeah.
collect the energy, poke you in the back of the head, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, little bursts of things like that can easily happen. And they could probably string them together. I'd welcome it. I would be all over that because I'd want to see what was going on.
Yeah, well, I would too. What about fear? Do you think fear can provide energy?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It, especially with any spirits that have a lot of malcontent, they want to experience fear. Because fear is a lot. It's one of the basic. Are you guys done? Sorry, there's chattering in the background. Where was I?
Fear, energy.
Oh, negative or bad energy.
You're welcome.
It's one of the basic. Thanks, Noelle. It's one of the basic experiences a human being. So, I mean, there's happiness, content, fear. Any of the basic emotions hold the most energy. And fear being one of the ones, you know, it's the fight or flight.
Yeah.
That's going to be the one that they're going to feed on the most.
Hmm. Okay. Have you ever been fearful in an investigation?
Me?
Yes.
Personally, no. I'm kind of the pit bull when it comes to investigations. I it's like bring it on.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Oh, you Shay, have you ever been fearful?
Who me?
Shay. Oh, sorry, Chris.
Chris.
In an investigation?
Yes.
No, I'm just curious, actually.
How about otherwise? Have you ever been fearful,
like,
of any paranormal?
Yeah. But I'm going to keep that to myself, sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, you don't have to bring it out.
Okay.
Noelle, what about you?
Yes, one time before I was a member of the team.
Is it something you want to tell us about or keep to yourself?
It was kind of a strange experience, and it wasn't actually even in Canada. I was in Holland, and I was with family, and we were exploring some old caverns where apparently a lot of people had. They were man-made caverns. They were mining sandstone, and a lot of people had gone in there and gotten lost and died, and some people's bodies had never even been found, and it was just. It could have been as much dark as it could have been paranormal, but it was just this feeling of, I don't want to be here, I should not be here. And that was really the only experience I've ever had where it was, you know, like, we need to leave.
Yeah.
Which, it wasn't as much fear as much, like, just get out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's really my only... I'm kind of like Shay. I kind of like to run headfirst into things.
I understand, because I'm the same way.
Yeah. And not even the paranormal, just in everyday life. I'm kind of a go-getter, so...
Yeah. Well, I
make being on the team a bit easier if you're ready to walk into the dark room.
Yeah, as long as somebody's got your back, right?
Yeah.
Madison, how about you? Have you ever been fearful of anything paranormal?
No, definitely not. I'm beginning to see a trend here. I think probably it takes someone that's willing to go into that dark room to be a paranormal investigator. I am always that person people hide behind in a haunted house. So definitely not. That's not occurred for me yet anyway.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not paranormal. Doesn't scare me. It's actually the haunted house and the fun house that scares me. It's people that scare me.
The clown.
Yeah. You know, some person jumping out at you. That scares me. Paranormal doesn't scare me.
Well, they always say that it's the living you have to be afraid of, not the dead.
Exactly. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you are right. Holly, what about you?
What about me?
Come on, honey.
Have I ever been fearful?
Yes.
Yeah. But it was a long time ago when I was a kid, and I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, I think when we're a kid, because we don't know as much, too, it probably brings out a lot of imagination, a lot of fear, a lot of everything. So it's always worse when you're a child and you don't know?
I wish I could say that it was just all a figment of my imagination.
Oh, I'm not saying it was. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was a figment of your imagination, because I think most children are more psychic than those of us that are psychic right now. I think as a child I probably received more energies than I do now.
Yeah.
Children are far more susceptible to that kind of thing.
Yeah, they are. As an adult, though, as far as the team and doing investigations, I don't know that I would call it fear exactly, but it was definitely a holy crap on a cracker, what's going on here kind of moment. When we all went out to Crow's Nest Pass to investigate Green Hill Mine, and it was a crazy, crazy time, and we all had the same kind of experience, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Why?
Well, because it just sounds really stupid. It's like mass hysteria among five people, and we all had the same, holy crap, you better get out of here kind of feeling. It wasn't, I can't say that it was fear, but at the same time, it was very close to fear.
So obviously someone did not, or some ones did not want you there.
Yeah, there was definitely something going on up there for sure.
Did you actually... Was that a mining area that you were in?
Yeah, it was up in on the Green Hill Mine on the compound. You can't get there anymore, but it's where the whole company was, right? All the buildings are there. The mine itself has been blasted and sealed, but a lot of the old buildings are still there. The power lines are still there, but they're not connected, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of the equipment is still there. It's a huge compound, absolutely huge. Great place to investigate, but a huge compound.
Hmm.
And also a very active one as far as paranormal goes there.
I would say so, yes. But you can't get there anymore. It's been privately purchased by we don't know who. And it's all fenced off, and I think they took they actually demolished the tipple.
Hmm. Interesting.
It wasn't when we were there, it wasn't structurally sound at all. And, I mean, it was falling apart all over the place. So I think they've demolished it since then. But, yeah, that's about as close to fear as I could say that we came as a team.
Interesting. Very interesting. You had also taken a trip up to the Frank Slide at one point in time, haven't you, Holly?
Yes.
And were you able to feel anything there?
Sorry, you were beeping. Were we able to do what now?
Were you able to hear or feel anything while you were there?
Didn't hear anything, but you can feel the energy. I mean, you know, 100 people died there, and they're buried under all those boulders. So you can feel the energy, but it's just residual energy. There's nothing active there.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I felt too when I was there. One thing I will tell you is when I was in San Francisco a few years ago, you stand on the one side of the bay and you can see Alcatraz. The energy coming from that place was so strong that I could not go over there to take the tour.
Really?
We actually had a ferry ride fairly close to there, and the shivers going up and down my spine were phenomenal, and all the hairs my arms were standing up. So, yeah, it was quite interesting. I think if it would have been a sunnier day, I could have conquered it. But because it was so overcast and everything, I just couldn't force myself to go to the island.
Wow. Have you guys been?
No, but I've done battlefields over in Europe, Canadian and German battlefields.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like?
Unnerving.
Yeah, I bet.
One of the most haunting places. Haunting, not haunted. There's
mm-hmm.
a difference.
Yep, there is.
One of the most haunting places I've ever been to was a German graveyard from the Second World War. And for some reason, grass doesn't grow in this graveyard. But the ground is covered in moss, and the trees are covered in moss, and everything's this dull shade of green, which just, with mass graves and flat gravestones everywhere. They don't stand up in German graveyards. Like, you know how if you drive by cemeteries here in Canada, they're like stones.
Yeah.
They're flat on the ground. And just the whole atmosphere was just haunting. And to have all of these names up on walls around you, it was the most unnerving place I've ever been.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just, there was just this feeling of dread and regret in the air. Versus some place like Vimy Ridge, where you have this feeling of just sheer accomplishment.
Wow.
Even though the sheer number of lives there are greater than the number of lives in that graveyard.
Yeah.
The feelings were completely different in different places that you go to.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting indeed.
Yeah. Like swastikas and stuff on the walls in the graveyards. It was definitely an uncomfortable place to be.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Next question. Okay, you said you've captured orbs or whatever, light, with the cameras. How about sounds?
Ooh.
How about what?
Sound.
The little girl in the church.
Oh, EVPs?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We've caught lots of those over the years.
Knocking on the counter, that one investigation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've caught all kinds of things. Yeah.
What about voices?
Yes.
We've captured voices, we've captured different types of sounds that we couldn't explain. I think in one we actually heard a dog barking, but there was no dog.
Right. I think that was over at...
That was in Bowness,
yeah.
I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we've caught lots. That's
wow.
My chair, sorry.
That's
broken.
Very, very interesting. Most cases, are your customers satisfied, your clients satisfied when you're done?
I would like to think so.
You must get feedback.
If not, they haven't gotten in touch with us to tell us that they're not happy. But as far as I know, we've been able to help, we've done our job, and they've been relieved, definitely relieved, that we've been able to explain a lot of what they've been experiencing.
In some of the cases, do the activities cease after you've been there, or do they continue?
I think it depends, but I got to tell you, we did a case out in Airdrie where it was myself. We went twice. The first time we went, it was Chris and me and Paul and... That's right, too,
There was another one.
Yeah, there was another one, but she's not part of this anymore,
yeah, right.
So I'm not going to name.
Like half an hour.
Yeah, and then she ran away.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were there, and we were just getting absolutely pounded by we don't know what, but we were all experiencing headaches and dizziness and nausea, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. So by the time all was said and done, we decided, like, we really need to get Shay in on this. So we made a booking for the following week, and we went back with Shay, and he walked in the door, and all of a sudden it was just as calm as you please. On. Yeah, it was absolutely bizarre. And Chris and Paul and I kept talking about how weird it was because he comes in, you know, Shay comes in, and then there's nothing. There's, like, nothing. It was bizarre.
What happened? Shay, did you scare them away?
To be honest, thank you, Noel. To be honest, sometimes that does happen with me because they don't... I'm very well prepared. Or my preparation is different than some people's. It's like I make sure I'm well armed with all kinds of accessories, we'll say. And so their energies and spirits might be a bit more reticent around me because I don't put up with any kind of crap.
Yeah.
So.
No, I totally understand that. What do you arm yourself with? Crystals?
Crystals. I'm a very devout Wiccan. So, I mean, I have all kinds of mojo bags and just the little sachets and just all of the accessories that I have that sort of, you know, protect and sort of, it also helps because you don't want to have anything follow you. So that's why I do that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm a Reiki master and I can separate myself from that kind of thing as well. And I do use crystals on 24-hour-a-day basis. So, yeah, I totally understand about crystals and about your other little sachets and stuff. They really do help, and I'm a firm believer in them myself.
What about you, Madison?
For me, I do personal armament, so I meditate. I make sure I'm in the proper mindset. I make sure I use personal prayer. It doesn't have to be religious-based. You can have something that kind of empowers yourself and brings yourself up to the level of confidence and security that you need in order to be there. Usually, if somebody says they're having activities, mostly in my personal life, not so much in Wolf Paranormal yet, same thing occurs. I'll go in and I'll either debunk it or I will nothing will happen while I'm there. So similar kind of occurrence, and I think it's all basically empowering yourself to stand up and, you know, put your warrior pants on, I guess.
And what about you, Chris?
Well, personal items for my kids, my faith, right, because I have my cross, and meditation, I like to do that. And I like observing more than anything. I don't talk much. Like,
yeah, we noticed.
Because I'm an observer, right? I see everything around me, and then I take it in after. And then that's when I make my viewpoint. So I've always been that way.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
So, Nina, you want to remind everybody about the phone number?
Oh, yeah, I guess I should, huh? Area code 6.
An idea.
Area code 646-727-2914 if you want to give us a call and ask any member of the team, the Wolf Paranormal team, what they are experiencing, any questions you may have in your personal life as far as paranormal goes. You're very welcome to call in. Or you can ask us in the chat room, but of course we're not going to answer you in the chat room. We will answer you live because we don't have time to type.
Right. Yeah.
Because if we're typing, we're not paying attention.
That's right.
Okay. Now where do we want to go?
Wherever you want.
Oh, you don't want to know where I want to go. Anybody else want to contribute something on their own without me asking a question?
Noelle says, please ask questions. What is your scariest, if you could call it that, your scariest experience?
Did you say Madison?
Who are you asking?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm asking Madison.
Well, it's actually outside of the realm of what I would say, like, your standard haunting would be. It was a cryptozoology kind of experience, and that's not something I typically believe in. So it happened when I was about 18. My now husband and I were driving along a back road, and a bipedal something walked in front of us. It was 12 o'clock at night, in the middle of the night, no other vehicles, no nothing. I grew up on the side of a cliff with cougars and bears and all the sorts. We had a grizzly that was like a regular to our neighborhood, and I know what a bear looks like walking on 2 feet, and that was not one of them. So that's one
wow.
I'm still trying to debunk mentally. So I would say that's probably the most endorphin-heightening experience I had. I don't know about scary, but I haven't said. Yeah.
Well, you know, cryptozoology does fall into the field of paranormal because para is just, you know, paranormal, it just means outside what people consider to be normal. And cryptozoology stuff falls into that as well, right? Like big.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's not stuff,
you know,
that we generally touch on. No.
Yeah, we actually do have a question. Lennis is asking, does the paranormal cross paths with ETs or? I'm just gonna say other beings because I don't know what that word means.
Unknown.
Oh, unknown beings. Oh.
You're welcome.
So what do you think, Chris?
Sure, why not? Anything that's out of the ordinary or what people think, right? So, yeah, I think it would cross paths with that.
Cool. Shay, what do you think?
Oh, anything that's out of the norm, I mean, is considered paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
So extraterrestrials, any kind of alien UFO, kind of anything like that is all part of the paranormal.
Okay. Now,
yeah.
ETs, any of you come across any of them?
Not me, no. No.
I'd like to.
As long as they're friendly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, that's another area of fascination. I used to really want to be an astronaut, but I'm like almost 6 feet tall, so that went out the window pretty quickly. Yeah, you laugh, but I was very sad. I had a sad childhood.
The reason why I'm laughing is because I don't think height is a deterrent anymore.
Not anymore, but it used to be. And so when I was in grade school, going through school, and I kept telling people I wanted to reach for the stars, they'd be like, you're already there.
nasty.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, the word paranormal in itself means something that's not normal. So I definitely think that can cross paths. And if I ever got the chance to do anything with aliens, I totally would. I think that'd be so cool.
Oh, yeah, totally. It would be very, very cool. Okay, well, Lennis is on hold here. I'm going to bring her live.
Okie dokie.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, Lennis.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everyone doing?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Lennis. Just sorry to interrupt 1 second here. Paul just phoned in, texted in,
and
he's
Paul,
up in the Great White North, eh?
And
he says
extraterrestrials.
Oh yeah. Now, is this better? Real paranormal. Hey, Paul, nice that you're listening.
That's because he's an ET himself.
We love you, Paul. We miss you.
Yes,
so how you doing, Lennis?
Oh, I'm doing great. And I have this question because I just got through reading the book of this last guy, not Corey Good. I don't know why I brought him up. But he was the first one. Supposedly time travel. John Titor. Is that right? Tenor? Titor. Have you heard of him? It's like John Titor the second now. The book is out that supposedly they actually spoke with this gentleman in this time frame now. I don't know. I mean, anything is possible. I do not doubt it. I'll say that. Anything is possible.
Okay.
What is the
name
of the
book? Yeah, we don't know what book.
Oh, here it is. Okay. The name of the book is called Disclose, Chronicles of John Titor II, and by him, Paul Milchill, and Jason. Anyway, he claims certain things are going to happen in the next few years, and even by 2035, I wonder sometimes if some of this stuff is just infiltrated scare tactics. Right, and then some of it maybe could be true. We don't know what other beings actually is on this earth or even galaxy beyond ours. As you say, the paranormal can hit on a lot of different areas, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, Lena. Do you have a question for the team?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, how did they feel? Were they familiar with John Titor or even Corey Good? What did they think of their books, what they had to say about time travel? Just curious.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stomp you. This ain't Jeopardy. Come on now.
Can you let Shay answer that question?
Can you repeat the question for us?
Oh, see, now, you know I got all the timers sometime. I just forgot what the question was that I asked, if it was something.
Nothing about.
Regarding time travel and if we believe that.
Yes, because both those books, those two different gentlemen and some military aspects served in the time travel. So they've been forward and backwards. It's really quite interesting, but it's just some of the predictions that he has made, the John Titor II gentleman, for the next couple of years is... I don't know. I don't want to believe it, but it's very drastic. So I'm like, come on, man. So I was just curious. Had anybody else read him that particular? Yes? No? Or Corey Good?
I personally haven't read any of his books. Probably if we wanted to discuss relativity and quantum mechanics, we would need another hour. At least, personally. But I don't think that time travel is something that is possible, personally. That's just my personal opinion. So.
Well,
what do you think?
That's your prerogative.
Yeah.
That's your prerogative to feel that way. Me, myself, I think we've been doing it since the 40s, before World War II. But, oh, yeah, we're so advanced, it's not even funny. But it's not just us. It's other countries, too, around the world, and the elite powerhouses. It's quite interesting, but I'm not just saying that book. I mean, I researched some other books, too. But anyway, thank you for answering my question. That's all. I was just curious, you know, what your thoughts were on. You know, I love to read, so don't mind me. I'll get off the phone now and just listen to the show on the air. I mean, in the chat room.
All right.
Okay. Good show, ladies. Doing good job. Thank you. Love y'all. Okay. And
love
good luck
too.
With your organization, too. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Oh. He's going to get himself a cup of coffee.
Huh.
Yeah.
Nice that he has that.
Madison, what are you taking your coffee? Because you never did answer me about that.
Oh, I like my coffee black.
Awesome. Cool beans. So, say what now?
When we have a transporter, you'll be able to send it.
teleporter. Teleporter.
That's what I was talking about.
Teleporter,
like,
right. Yeah.
University of Calgary, and with two students or who?
Oh, yeah, two students.
They teleported something.
They teleported a particle.
Yeah, so.
And it actually worked, right?
Yeah, but it's a particle.
Yeah. Until then, Madison, I drink black coffee too, and I'll drink one for you.
Thanks.
Paul, station and time travel are possible.
Cool. Did you hear that?
He believes that time travel and teleportation are possible, but that extraterrestrials aren't paranormal.
We love you, Paul.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, man, we miss you, buddy. We miss you.
I don't know if you're listening in. We're kind of just texting here, so I'm not sure. I think he's at work right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, if he listens
in. Rundown.
So if anybody wants to call in, if anyone has any questions about it, give us a shout. I almost gave the wrong phone number, and
area code 646-727-2914.
Thank you.
Give us a call anytime and ask whatever question you would like the team to answer.
Probably not this stupid most of the time. Oh, my God, I'm having a day.
Well, I don't think there's anything.
Noel and Chris are just dying here.
Stupid.
He doesn't know what to think.
Oh, I know what.
Well, he knows what to think, but he's not going to say it.
Well, you can if you want.
More of a diss than usual today. This has been a day, I tell you. Oh, it's been a day. I've been having brain farts all over the place today, so, you know.
As long as you don't sound them out.
Yeah. Yeah. Nina?
Yes.
Please help.
No, I'm just letting you just flounder away there.
Oh God, please don't let me do that. You're gonna get us all laughing and then we're gonna be crying because we're laughing so hard.
Unlike you, we have each other's facial expressions to
there
do
you go.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I have a question.
Any areas scare the bejesus out of you?
I have a question.
Okay.
Have you ever gone, and I know the answer to this, but this is more or less for our listeners, gone someplace where you've been able to just debunk whatever they think is happening?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What would you say the percentage is?
9 out of 10.
Yeah,
90%.
I would say 9 out of 10 times. Yeah.
Yeah, 85 to 90% of the time.
Yeah,
that's a pretty high percentage. And what do you find is the main reason for the noises or things that they may see going bump in the night?
There's things like fear cages, which is like power, like where all the electrical comes to one room.
Yeah.
Because that sort of messes with your own personal sort of electrical system in your body.
Yeah.
There's that. There's being over top of power lines or near power places.
Mm-hmm.
And
creaky floorboards.
Rabbits in cages.
Rabbits in cages in basements. Yeah.
Watching scary movies and hearing sounds.
Yeah. Drafts too, right?
Yeah.
That come in through the windows
yeah.
when there's just enough air or just enough space where the air can, and then it makes that weird sound.
Anything that there's not really enough information for a person to make a logical conclusion about something, and it frightens them, because that's why people fear the paranormal, because they can't form a conclusion about something, and that frightens people.
Yeah. The unknown.
Or are they too afraid to find the conclusion? I think that may be part of it too, because you would think, like I'm, like the majority of you, I will go in the first one into a dark room. It doesn't bother me. But I will find out where the cold draft is coming from, and if I can't find it, then I'll
think again, right?
Yeah.
You have to remember this is people's homes, and they get really comfortable in one place. And when you spend a lot of time in one place, you start to zone out certain things. Like I had a flickering in my room for the longest time, and I forgot I had a light stashed in a corner somewhere that was like half dying out. So it was just something that I had forgotten about, but that slightly frightened me because I had no idea what it was until I actually took the time to like reevaluate my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people just don't have that train of thought to do something like that just because the fear kind of takes hold. It's that fight or flight, and they're not, or freeze response. And in this case, it's more of a freeze and call the team for help.
And sometimes people that have issues with their stairs, sometimes it could be a result of the stairs being out of square by like 2 millimeters.
Yeah.
If the stairs are out of square, or, you know, like if there's slight warping or anything like that, that can actually cause a certain amount of dizziness and unpleasantness, make you feel like you're a little bit drunk or, you know, depending on the lighting and all the rest of it. But, yeah, even the stairways being a couple of millimeters out of proper position can have effects. And so you end up feeling like, oh, my God, there's a ghost on the stairs. Because every time I walk in this spot, this happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Lannis wants to know if there's a ritual that you go through prior to an investigation.
Like together or just by yourselves?
Both, I would imagine, by yourselves and together. Is there something that you all do together?
Madison, what do you do?
We have a team kind of get together and we discuss what the circumstances are, and we're making sure that we're all kind of level-headed and calm and ready to go in and face whatever it is, and making sure we have all the information that we can, basically.
Cool.
And Holly, your Calgary chapter, do you guys do anything all together?
The only time that we've sort of done anything together was before they brought me into the Airdrie investigation for the second time.
Where all the paranormal activity ceased because they were afraid of you.
Yeah,
yes.
Something like that, yeah. And we go in, and it was kind of amusing because everybody was really disappointed. That it's like they kept going, well, it was like that, Shay. It was like that. We're not crazy, Shay.
We felt like we had to justify it to you because it wasn't happening and we couldn't understand why.
Well, and the thing was, too, is that they should have taken me in the first place.
Yes, we should have.
But for some reason, they have decided not to. So they have learned since.
Yeah, the spirits were on your side, I guess, that night, huh, Shay?
Yeah.
We learned.
Well, I know myself when I'm dealing with anything like this, I always surround myself with white light.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my Reiki background, I also will do some Reiki before I enter anywhere where I know there's paranormal. My home is like kind of like a bus station, I'm going to say, because I have spirits in and out of here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They
yep.
drop in to visit me. They drop in just to pass through. They drop in because they know it's a safe place for them to come.
Right.
Do any of you experience anything like this?
For me?
Any of you.
Somebody?
I get pestered quite often. The place where I'm living right now, it ranges from like 3 to 7 things that sort of pop in and out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's all in how I sort of set myself up. They don't bother me. I don't bother them. So.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. The same thing happens here, and if I don't want to be bothered at night, I will just tell them before I go to sleep at night, I want to sleep tonight. Please don't bug me. I'm not passing on any messages. I'm not doing anything, so just leave me alone. And they usually do.
Yeah.
I lived in one house that was quite interesting back probably about 17 years ago. And it's about your chair, Holly.
Yep.
We had a couple of spirits that sort of hung out in the house, and so what we would do is, or what I would do, is I used them as kind of like my, house protection system.
Okay. Alarm.
Yeah, my house alarm, yeah. And I would just say when we're going out, and, take care of the place. And I heard from a couple of people that people would come to the door, and they didn't want to stay. So it was, I believe it's kind of like a Beetlejuice situation. So it's, it's work with them.
Yeah.
Ways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Holly?
What about me? Yeah, our house is just, you know what our house is like. It's kind of like I just call it a way station. They come in, they stick around, they come in, they go out, they come in, they stay for a few months, and then they go, or they just say, hey, how you doing? I'm on my way out, and away they go.
Yeah, that's basically the way it is here, too.
Grief, and I don't get on their back about it either.
Yeah, I think your house is like mine. It's a safe place for them to come.
Yep.
And they know they're safe, and if they can pass on any messages, they will. I sometimes get messages from them when I'm sleeping. That's when I find them, I get them the most clear, is when I'm sleeping. The messages actually come through me a lot easier that way.
Yeah, not me.
Except for when we're doing psychic readings, and then that's totally different because that's not spirits we're talking to, it's questions that people are asking us, then I can hone in a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I do get answers to questions or get messages, not necessarily for myself. Sometimes they're messages for other people, and sometimes the messages are for other people or for people that I barely know, which sometimes really surprises me, but, yeah. Then you got to feel the people out and decide whether or not you're going to pass that message on.
Exactly. Yeah, we've had some doozies on that, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Wait. So, Nina.
Uh-huh.
You want to send out the phone number again?
Area code 646-727-2914. We only have a few more minutes, so if you would like to ask a question of any of the team members, please give us a call.
Yeah, don't be shy, people. Come on. We don't bite.
Holly does.
I don't bite.
No, she doesn't bite. Not hard, anyways.
Well, that's true. That's very true. That's true. So,
anyone else like to offer some insight into, what about training? That's something, Holly. What about training? What do you all have to do?
Come again? You beeped.
I said training. What kind of training?
Well, if you know how to operate a camera and hold a voice recorder in your hand, then you're good to go. It doesn't require, I can't say that it requires a lot of training, although if you have some technical background, that helps, because then it allows you to debunk things that you might otherwise miss. What do you think, Noelle? I'm sorry,
my
brain's just not working.
I was kind of thrown under the bus for my first investigation where Holly partnered me up with people, and we spent the entire investigation partnered up with the person. So it was really learning as you go. It's not something like school where you sit down in the classroom and here's what you do in this situation. It's all about being able to have that situational awareness and then learning from mistakes. Like my first investigation, I sat on the walkie-talkie in the middle of a we were trying to communicate, and it was dead quiet. Everything was quiet in the house, and Shay was upstairs himself in a room where there had been reported activity, and I went and sat on a walkie-talkie, and so the whole house goes like, "Free!" all at once, and it was just, it was a learning experience where you learn very situationally. You learn to keep track of your equipment. You learn very quite quickly what to do in certain situations. And then, of course, before we go into any place, we discuss where activity is so we know where to focus our efforts.
Okay, and I imagine that there is no two investigations ever the same because I imagine everything is different. So a lot of it is skin of your pants type thing where you've got to react quickly and know what to do no matter what, right? So your instincts have really got to take over.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of being as quiet as you can.
I think having a strong interest in this, too, helps.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's where your instinct comes from.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you're doing this type of thing.
Yeah.
Because you can't let yourself become frightened. You have to sit there quietly and actually hope that something happens.
And some kind of an experience. You know,
exactly.
Because not like you were saying, Noel, not everything is textbook.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And
you
have experience in some form or another. Because usually it's something that draws you into this, right? At least it was for me, so.
Yeah. And like we all bring different talents and strengths to the table. So if there's, you know, something more psychological, we'll go to like Chris. Or if there's something more occult, it's Shay kind of takes over. So we each also bring strengths to the table that kind of help balance out the team as well. And that's stuff you can't train.
Yeah, well, for sure. And really, I can't imagine there being any training that would really do any good anyways because, like I said, every situation is different.
Yeah,
the unknown.
Yeah.
Always.
And it's a lot of logical thinking, too. It's like when we're going over recorders and you hear a noise, it's like, no, okay, that wasn't something. It was this instead, like Holly's chair creaking. Our recorders would pick that up and we'd be able to identify that.
Yeah.
A lot of using that logic to debunk stuff as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you have to both be open to the logical and illogical at this point in time, I would believe, when you're doing investigations, because you have to debunk things. And there again, if there is some paranormal activity, how do you prove it, right?
Exactly.
You just have to be open to it.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are just inquisitive. Don't know whether there actually is anything as paranormal, extraterrestrial, spirits, angels, whatever the case may be. But they're interested. They want to, I think they want to believe, but are still skeptic.
Yeah. But that's the great thing about this kind of work, is you are always perpetually in a state of learning. There are no experts. And I defy anybody to prove me wrong about that. There are no experts.
And no stupid questions.
There cannot be experts. If there were experts, then all of these questions would be answered and we would not need to continue seeking and studying and researching. So,
I'd be okay with not getting answers too.
Exactly.
I joined the team wanting answers for stuff, and I've got nothing but more questions at this point. And to me, that's exciting. That shows like that there's still more out there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. The more questions they have, I think the more interesting it becomes as well. Anna has a question from the chat room. She wants to know if everything is hands-on or do you do distance?
No, everything is hands-on.
Yeah, it pretty much has to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if we were to do distance work, I'm not sure that would actually work.
Oh, yeah. How could it?
We wouldn't. I don't know that we would actually achieve anything, even if it did work. We wouldn't have any hard data.
Yeah. Yeah. do you actually, okay, if there is something paranormal, there's a spirit or something in the house, can you actually remove that spirit from that house?
There's a few different schools of thought on that. Why don't you ask Madison about that?
Madison, can you answer that for me?
I personally would ensure that we are empowering them, so, and giving them the tools available per their beliefs to do what they need to do to help them get it out. Unfortunately, a lot of times if the spirit is connected to the home or the person, it's going to be that person having to step up to the plate and aid in the situation for sure.
Yeah, that's been my knowledge in this too. Yeah. The person always has to step up. I've had to do it myself. Unfortunately, my sister was playing with a Ouija board and sent something rather nasty over to my house at one point in time, so I had to deal with it. But it took me a couple of days to, there we go, Shade, the fear set in first. So I had to get rid of the fear first. And once I got rid of the fear, I got rid of the demon.
What?
She's talking to you.
No, oh. I'm not talking to him. He doesn't talk back.
Oh, no, I talk back. It's I mean, any time that you have to sort of cleanse anything or it's, especially if it's attached to that person, not specifically... It's easier to kind of calm things down in an environment, but if it's attached to a person, it's the person that's bringing it to them. So,
yeah.
You know, it's you can cleanse till the cows come home, but you know, if it's the person's still bringing it towards them, the energy is still going to be tied to them. So.
Yeah, they themselves have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, that's exactly what I found, the thing that my sister unleashed through the Ouija board was going to stay, and it was going to continue to bother me until I was actually strong enough to say, I've had enough, go away. And I find that with a lot of people that have whatever attached to them, they have to do it. You can give them the tools and the knowledge on how to do it.
Yeah.
All you can do. They have to do the rest on their own. And if they're not strong enough to do it, there's not much you can do for them.
Sometimes it's hard, though. Like even
yes, I agree, because there again, the fear takes over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's all about intent. You have to actually feel. It's like the old story, you know, in some of the vampire movies where the person holds the cross up to the vampire, and the vampire just stands there and goes, that means nothing unless you believe in it.
Exactly.
So
yep.
That's usually the way it works.
Yeah, very, very good, very, very good point, Shay. Thank you. Well, we still have nobody calling in. I can't believe this. Okay, area code 646-727-2914. Anything else anybody would like to say to wrap things up?
Happy Halloween coming up.
I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to say it.
Yes, Halloween is coming up. And for those of you listening, Wolf Paranormal Investigations, the main team is from Calgary. If you want to get a hold of them, and Calgary is in Alberta, Canada, for those listening not up here in Canada. So that's in Canada. And Madison's chapter is down in the Okanagan, is that right? Madison?
That's right, yeah.
And that is in British Columbia, Canada. So if you want to get a hold of any of them, you can get a hold of me through, or Holly, through our Facebook page, Passage to Empowerment, or you can get a hold of me at nina.essence, the number 2s@gmail.com, and I will pass your phone number and everything off to Wolf Paranormal Investigations. That way, if you have any problems you wish them to solve for you, they can do that. How's that, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And if you find that things are going bump in the night and you don't know why, and you live in or near Calgary, and if you would like us to come and do an investigation, you can visit our website at www.wolfparanormal.com. We do have investigation request forms, so just fill one of those out. I would like to state, however, that before filling out an investigation request, please, please, please document everything for at least 2 weeks before contacting us. We need dates. We need times. We need the event that's going on, what was happening prior to the event, what happened after the event, things like that. They're very important. It helps us get a better understanding of what might be going on. So, you know, and it allows us to help you help yourself.
Holly, I have a question that maybe somebody might want to know too. What are the fees for this?
We don't charge for our investigations. However, we do reserve the right to ask for assistance with travel expenses if we need to be traveling a fair distance and it looks like we're going to be overnight. So we do reserve the right to ask for that. So, you know, put us in a barn or something overnight so we can get some sleep kind of thing, right?
No barn.
Get us someplace to sleep overnight, help out with gas, you know, buy us a burger or something like that, you know, because, I mean, we're coming all the way out and everything is out of pocket. So, you know, none of us are rich people and most of us can't afford to change our minds.
Oh, yeah, tell me about that one, but that's all right. Well, there you have it, folks. Wolf Paranormal, at your service. Anytime you would like to get a hold of them, please do so, and they would be more than willing to help you out. But unfortunately, this is limited to the Calgary area or the Okanagan area of British Columbia. If you have any other, if you have just some questions, maybe Holly and the team can help you out, and you live too far away, I'm sure they will be more than happy to help you out with those. And I think that's a wrap. I would like to thank you all very much, Chris, Shay, Noelle, and Madison, and, of course, Holly, for being here tonight. You've provided a lot of information for everybody, and I'm sure it will help them.
Excellent. Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you all very much. I hope we've provided some love, light, and laughter to your evening. We will be back again on October 18th is what I said, wasn't it, Holly?
Yes.
October 18th, that's 3 weeks from tonight, and we are going to be talking about, what are we talking about, Holly?
I don't know. Did we decide?
Yeah, I think it's something about kids and dogs.
Something about that.
Kids and pets? Something like that. Anyways, we're going to be talking about that. You can introduce your pets to children, your children to pets, how to get them to get along, how to train.
How to properly introduce them, what to look for, what not to look for, yada, yada.
Yeah. And Holly, I'd like you to share some really happy news with everybody about you and Glimmer.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
Glimmer passed her canine good neighbor test on Saturday.
Yay!
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And tell our listening audience what that means.
That means that is actually the first step in a series of steps that are being taken to get Glimmer certified as an international therapy dog. And this canine good neighbor test is the first part of that. It paves the way for her to prepare for the second test, which is the International Therapy Dog Test. It's very strict. It's very hard. There's no room for mistakes. You don't get any leniency at all.
But you know what, Holly? You and Glimmer are up to the task.
Yes, we are.
And I know you'll do well, and I know Glimmer will do well. Holly's an excellent trainer for those of you looking for a trainer as well. So anyway, yeah, I'm so excited to be on this journey with you. It's very exciting and very I don't know. I'm so proud of you and Grimmer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's laughing.
I was just going to say, we need to get Polly to stop jumping up on people.
That's true.
Hey, Tolly, have you got anything else you would like to say?
No, I'm good. Anybody, anything you guys want to say?
No, I'm good.
Awesome.
Madison, how about you?
No, I think I'm good, too.
All right. Well, then, I would like to thank you all again for joining us. For those of you listening in the chat room, thank you very much for being here. For those of you listening live, I wish you would have phoned in and asked some questions. I'm sure the team would have been up to the task. But if not, that's okay. Listen in the archives. Remember to get a hold of Holly and the team if you have any questions. And if you want an investigation, definitely get a hold of them. So we will see you in 3 weeks on October 18th. Love, light, and laughter to all of you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Nice talking to you, Madison.
Thank you.
Good night, all. Thank you.
Thank you.